I'm Dennis Crowley with the Institute on Religion and Democracy. The Institute on Religion and Democracy is a faith-based alliance of Christians who monitor, comment, and report on issues affecting the Church. The IRD seeks to reform the Church's role in public life, protect religious freedom, and support democracy at home and abroad. And on our program, we have with us Mark Tooley, the president of the IRD. And Mark, I'd like to talk about an issue here. Last month, two United Methodist bishops were arrested outside the White House protesting the Obama administration's deportation of illegal immigrants. Can you explain what this was all about?
Well, these bishops were arrested with other church activists protesting any deportations by the U.S., and their underlying theme is that the U.S. should offer what they deem full hospitality to all who come to America, meaning they desire full open borders and the provisions of all the benefits of U.S. citizenship to all who come to the U.S., including full access to the welfare and entitlement state. So what they propose, of course, is completely implausible economically and politically, and I would even say it's utopian, but that's where the Methodist and many of the mainline Protestant elites are on the issue of immigration.
Now, the immigration law is the law of the land, and wouldn't it be better to lobby for the reforms on immigration? I mean, that's what government relations lobbying versus getting arrested. I mean, you get arrested, it makes a point, but how does getting arrested help make a point in the media or in a church?
Well, many church activists on the left are very nostalgic about the 1960s and the civil rights movement and the anti-Vietnam War movement, and they're too young to have participated in those movements. And so I think often they see whatever the issue is of the day as their opportunity to try to relive those days of the 1960s and getting arrested, protesting U.S. deportation of illegal immigrants is just one opportunity for them.
Now, in the past, United Methodist bishops have been arrested for protesting such issues as welfare spending, gay rights, opposition to nuclear weapons, opposition to trade sanctions against Cuba, and environmental causes. These seem to be social issues. Now, we've seen other peaceful demonstrations, such as the March for Life. Do United Methodist bishops and other mainline bishops demonstrate against such things as abortion or religious freedom in other countries?
No, regrettably, I can't think of a single example of a major mainline Protestant figure demonstrating in Washington, D.C. or anywhere else on behalf of the religiously persecuted or on behalf of the unborn. There was one Methodist bishop who gave a very good sermon on that day of the pro-life march in January. But I'm not aware of any Methodist, Episcopal, Lutheran bishops from the old line churches who participated in the march or any officials from the Presbyterian Church of USA or other old line denominations.
Now, the protest seems to be what's called a political witness. Is this being taken seriously here in Washington?
All of the old line Protestant denominations have full-time lobby offices on Capitol Hill here in Washington, D.C., and lobby strenuously in a whole range of issues, often scores of pieces of legislation in any typical year, and always from the left side of the political spectrum. So they are very politically outspoken, and they see political witness as central to the church's vocation.
Now, you say you have written an article recently, and you said traditional Methodism, I should say, through the 19th century, even through the Prohibition, still acknowledged human sinfulness and the urgent need for personal salvation and holiness. Now, this seems to have changed. What has happened since?
Yes, for Methodism, of course, starting with John Wesley, there was always the interest in transforming society, but there was always the understanding that transformation began with the transformation of individuals through the proclamation of the gospel and the personal transformation that often occurs from acceptance of the message of the gospel. And that continued on through the Prohibition movement, the main Prohibitionists and Methodism, and all of the within the mainline churches understood that the church's role as advocates for righteousness, personal righteousness, and the social righteousness, and they did not believe that politics was a substitute for a personal morality and personal transformation. The prohibition movement was quickly overtaken by, and in some cases overlapped with, the social gospel movement, which de-emphasized, when not outright rejected, the need for personal salvation and personal transformation, and steered the church's focus almost exclusively on societal, systemic, political, and social change. And that's where the focus has been on the old line Protestant side of American Christianity for the last 60 years or more.
Now, you've monitored the Methodist Church for many years. What do you think the future is for the United Methodist Church?
Methodism is the largest of the mainline, old-line Protestant denominations in America, and it's almost the only one that has not surrendered its traditionalist stance on sexuality issues. It's also unique because its membership is global, and 40% of its members are outside the U.S., mostly in Africa, and that overseas church is growing dramatically, even as the U.S. church continues to decline. Of course, Methodism, like all of the old-line churches, is divided in the U.S. over sexuality issues, and the liberal side is exasperated because it has not been able to win legislatively in overturning the church's official disapproval of homosexual practice and same-sex unions. So a number of liberal clergy are practicing ecclesial disobedience by hosting church same-sex unions that defy church law, and some of them are facing church trials. And some liberal areas with liberal bishops are reluctant, if not unwilling, to prosecute clergy who defy the church's law on same-sex unions.
Well, Mark, thanks for being with us on our program. The Institute on Religion and Democracy is a faith-based alliance of Christians who monitor, comment, and report on issues affecting the church. We seek to reform the church's role in public life, protect religious freedom, and support democracy at home and abroad. I'm Dennis Crowley.